Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our international service. As Grace was leading us as a moderator today, I was reminded that the service that we have is called the Mitaki International English Service. And love it when people from not different countries, but different continents come and speak with us, encourage us, share with us, be it Africa, South America, Central America, North America, Europe, Asia. I love it. It's just a preview of coming attractions of how it will be when we are in eternity. So looking forward to it. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Today we are in Psalm number 62. Psalm number 62. While you're turning there, I want to welcome Andrew and Mihoko and Bright to our church. It's not often that you can meet someone whose name matches their face, and so it's very nice to see Bright here. Welcome. And we have it here on the screen, maybe in your Bibles there, but also in the bulletin. So the Japanese is on the right side. But let's read it together. We just finished singing a wonderful psalm. What a friend we have in Jesus. We only sang two verses, but there are two more verses, and they're great verses. I would commend them to you. They're on the inside of your bulletin. But when we read the psalm together, this was a song in itself with a melody and a chorus. Yet when we read it, we're just going to read it as a poem. And however, whether you sing it or just read it, it's still worship when you read the Word of God together. So with a humble heart and hearts lifted up to God, let's read the Word of God together. We'll read where it begins, "Truly my soul finds rest in God." Let's read together. "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done." This is the word of God. Amen. Takako, if you could turn off the air conditioner, that would be great. A little bit cold. So if you notice, the subject or title of our message today in your bulletin is in Japanese, in the Romaji. It's called Chinmoku no Shouri. And So the Chinmoku is actually taken from the Japanese version of this. And it was also from the sermon that Pastor Hiroshi preached last week when he preached this message. But if you look at the Japanese version, verse 1, it says, Watashi wa damatte. Actually, that's a different version than the version that the church uses. This is very likely the kogoyaku, the colloquial version. The version that we use at church is the shin, kyodoyaku. But anyways, damatte means silent. But there's another word that's translated, that's used, it's called chinmoku. And that's in the church's Shinkyodo-yaku Bible. Chinmoku is a word also that means silence or quietness or still. And it's the word that the NIV, or the version that we use, it says rest, finds rest. So there's the silence of rest. Now that's the chinmoku part of our title, but it says chinmoku no shouri, and shouri means victory, shouri, okay? Victory or to win. So the victory of silence is what we call this message. The reason why we call it that is taken basically from verse 1. My soul finds rest in God alone. And then also verse 5. In verse 5, it says, yes, my soul, find rest in God. There is a very important message that I want to share with you today, and that is there are times when talking needs to stop. There are times when effort and defense, self-defense, and rationalization and justification and argumentation, it needs to stop. There is an expression in English that says, speaking may be silver, speech is silver, but silence is golden. And that is the message that the psalm is bringing to us today. That is, okay, we've had enough of trying to talk this out and process it verbally. There is a time to just let it rest. Therefore, my soul, if we go back to verse 1, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. The reason why we don't need to say as much as we think we need to say is because my salvation doesn't come from what I do. If you are a Christian, and if you follow Christ, you are a Christian not because of what you do, but because of what He has done. Amen. It's not what I have tried to accomplish, and maybe at the end of my life, the good things that I have done will be more than the evil things that I have done, and therefore I deserve eternal life. Therefore, I have earned heaven. No, 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 no. If you are a Christian, the good that you have in your life is not from you. It is from Jesus alone. That's why you can rest. When Jesus told the people, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, He wasn't talking to non-Christians and people who didn't believe God. He was talking to religious people. And He was telling the people, you can work and work and try to be as good as you can, it's never enough, and you know it. You're tired of trying to be a good person or trying to please someone up there. You're tired, and it's not working. Okay, come to me, and I will give you chimok, rest. So find rest. My soul finds rest in God because my salvation comes from him. And then there's the bit of the chorus. The right punch is the first verse, and then the left hook is that the knockout punch is in verse 2. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. That's repeated in verse 6. And the thing I want you to note there is the possessive pronoun. Possessive shoyukaku. Okay? No daimeishi. The possessive pronoun is my. Can you see that? The word my? Watashi no. Right? You can circle it, highlight it, mark it. My rock. My salvation. My fortress. My refuge. And then in verse 6, what does it say? If you can go to verse 6, it says, my rock, my salvation, my fortress, right? Listen, all of the money in Hiroshima Bank is worth nothing to me unless it's mine, right? All of the food in Costco is nothing to me unless I own it. And so the psalmist David, he's saying, all of the power, all of the protection, and all of the provision that God has, oh, it's mine. It's all mine because I am his. He is my rock. He is my refuge. Therefore, I find rest. Now, can I say something here? I just came back from my son's soccer game. My son just played his first soccer game with his soccer team ever. And so I just had to run back and come to church. And he left at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he arrived at the soccer field at 9. And from 9 a.m. until 12:30, until 1 p.m., he was just running. Running, 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 running. 10-minute break. Take a drink. And run and run and run and run and run. He's just been going and going and going. And the thing that's terrible about me, his dad, is, well, I'm watching from the seat above. And when the ball is just in front of him, you know, I say, go, get the ball, kick it, run. And he's like, and he could barely get there. And I said, well, come on, Kyohei, go. It's right there. You can get it. But he's tired, right? You see, I don't know how he feels because I'm not on the field with him, right? So it's easy for me to say, just run. And, he can't hear me. Because if he could hear me, he'd say, Dad, look, I've been running. I need to stop and rest. The thing about this psalm, you're not going to understand this psalm unless you're someone who's been running. Someone who has been fighting, someone who has been struggling. That's who this psalm is for. The psalm is given to us as not just a gift, but an instruction to say, for those of you who are fighting the good fight and for those of you who are trying to run this race, there is a way that you run where there's no muda no ogoki, no wasted effort. There's no wasted movement, because when you waste your movement, you get tired quickly. But he says, no. There's a way to run when it's restful. That's one way that you can look at this psalm. But there's another way, and that is the fighter. there is a fighter who's getting beat up and pummeled and just getting ready to be knocked down and knocked like a tottering fence. Like there was a verse four, just, I'm about to collapse. If you are someone who understands the meaning of just about ready to, boom, collapse out of exhaustion or defeat, this is a gift for you. So he's saying, what is the situation that I need the fortress and the rock? What's the situation that I need my strength and my redeemer in God in whom I trust? What is that situation? That's in verses 3 and 4. And in verse 3 and 4, it talks about some people who were enemies of David. David is the author, as you can see from the title of this psalm. They wanted to basically murder him. There was a plot to take his life, and it's not clear if this is early in David's life or if it's later in his life. Therefore, it's not important to know. It's just that David knows what it means to run for his life. He knows what it means when people are literally running after him to chop him down, or he knows what it means figurative. Maybe some of us understand this more correctly or can relate. When people are whispering behind his back, you know, there's a game that the kids play. The game that the kids play is they have their back turned, and then the kids are coming to get him, and then he looks, they stop moving, and then he looks away, and then they're coming to get him, and he turns, and they stop moving. David is in that position where he can look at the people in front of him, and in their face, they're saying, David, I hope you get better. Oh, I hope you're doing well, David. Ah, may you live forever. May your blessings increase. But he turns his back on them. They got their knife ready to stab him. That's the situation he feels. And it may not be that bad for us. There's nobody trying to stab us literally in the back. But there are times when we feel like, I don't really know if they're really on my side. What do I do then? How do I trust in God then? Is that verse 4, right? And now, he's saying this, and he gets back to himself. So he has the situation in verses 3 and 4. And in verse 5, he says, no. He says, find rest. You see, if you notice, verse 1, he's making a declarative statement. He's saying, listen, everybody, my soul finds rest in God. Okay? The reason why my soul finds rest in God is because he's my rock, my refuge. And in this situation, as I think about the people around me trying to attack me, wait a minute now. Where am I again? Who am I again? And in verse 5, can you see where he's going? It's not my soul finds rest. He's talking to his soul now. And he's saying, hey, soul, stop it. The wheels are turning. The video in your mind is playing and you can't get it to stop. You're turning in your bed. You can't go back to sleep. And he says, soul, find rest. Did you see that? It's a command now to his soul. 침묵しなさい. Just stop for a minute. Sometimes you need to do that. You can come to church. It's nice in church because when I come to church, there's a way about church that, yes, I can breathe and there is a rest here. It's a wonderful thing, right? When you come through the doors, you hear the music. It's like, oh, I'm home, tadaima, right? And there's a rest. But then you leave, you go home, and it's like, all right, put the gloves back on. Let's get the gun out. Who's around that corner, you know? And you have to tell yourself, put that gun down. Soul, find rest. I love the song that we sing. Still, the song Still, hide me now Under your wing, cover me within your mighty hand. That's from Psalm 90, right? He who rests, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shelter of his wing, right? And then it says, when the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm, right? That's from Psalm 46. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Be still, right? Psalm 46. And then the verse 2 kicks in. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. That's Psalm 62. Still, a beautiful song. Oh, YouTube it. Sing it again this week. But we're telling ourselves, find rest, my soul. Now, I need to get to one more key thing here, and then we'll try to bring it to a close. This psalm, historically, in the church, it's called the only psalm. The only psalm. It doesn't mean that this is the one and only psalm, not that one and only. But there is a word repeated in this psalm 6 times, and that is the word only. In Hebrew, it's ak. And in our translation of English, in the NIV, it's not directly translated because it's a very specific meaning. But if you go back to verse 1, in verse 1 it says truly, okay? Truly. That's the word only. And he's saying only in God my soul finds rest, right? And then in verse 2 it says what? Truly. That's the same word only. Only God is my rock and my salvation. Can you see that? Okay? And then it's verse 4, it says, surely they intend to topple me. That's another word, only. Only they intend to topple me. That's their number one goal, okay? And then it says in verse 6, again, truly he is my rock. That's the word only. Only God is my rock and my salvation, okay? And then in verse 9, it says it again, only the lowborn are but a breath. And I know it's weird because it's not the word only, but there's something that he's trying to get across, and that is only, truly, surely, right? And one of those main ideas is that only in God will my soul find rest. Only in God. Christian, follower of Christ, our life will always, always be a struggle between trusting in God only or trusting in God and other things. If you're having a struggle right now in your life, if there is an issue that has kept you awake at night, if there is shame and guilt that you are dealing with, oftentimes it is a struggle because your soul is trying to find, what do I really trust in? I say that I trust in God, but God says, I don't want you to just say it. I don't want to be 90% of your trust. I want to be 100%. Percent of your trust. And the struggle that you're facing right now is because you're trusting in him. You're trusting in that. You're putting your hope in anything but me. And therefore the word only, only. Only in God will my soul find rest. I know you want somebody to say sorry. No. Only in God will your soul find. I know you want somebody to prove you right. No. Only in God let your salvation be. I know that it's that one thing that you're trying to just turn around. And if you can just get that round, then no, your rest, your rock, your fortress can only be in God. Otherwise, eh. And so the rest of the psalm, verses 8 through 12, it could be people, the lowborn. What does it say? Verse 8, excuse me. Verse 9, the lowborn, verse 9. Okay, whether it's regular people or the lowborn, just regular people, or the highborn, could be politics, could be the leaders, could be the officials. The lowborn, it could be just your acquaintances. The highborn, your closest friends, the people you hold high in your heart. They're going to disappoint you. They're people. No, but you don't know him. Oh, he's so perfect. He's got shoulders, he's got legs and arms. He's Mr. Right. He's a sinner. He's a sinner in need of grace. Ah, but you don't know my baby, my angel. Yes, I do. I have four of them. They're not angels. They are devils. Yes. Amen, somebody. But they will disappoint and hurt, and sometimes they will harm. Amen? Okay, you don't have to say amen. You don't have to say amen. You can say ouch. Okay. Yeah. Because the lowborn, the highborn, people are people, and in the end, you compare them to the faithfulness of God, who will always be there and never, never betray you. It's like comparing air to gold, right? What does it say? They're just a breath, right? Verse 9. Weight on a balance, they're nothing. So you can't trust in people. But not only can you not trust in people, you can't trust in things either. What does it say in verse 10? Extortion, that's what the lowborn do. They force their way, right, to have things, stolen goods. And then there's the riches. The riches will increase. So it doesn't matter if you're just a regular person, just working hard, you're going to try to get things your way because you have the strength to do it, or you have the means and you're working hard, you've got all your eggs and you're putting them into a basket. Look, putting all your eggs into that basket, that's going to... Don't put your hope in that. Don't do it. A lot of people think about church and Christianity like this. And we don't say it, but this is how we really think. This is what, okay, I need a blessing. Not a blessing. I'm doing well, but when I go to church, I feel good. I feel peace. It helps me get through some things. And that's nice. Church is like an addition. God is like that one part of your life. Relationship with Christ is just another relationship with another person that helps you. And God is saying, it's not like that. It's not like that. Let's get down to the last two verses. It says... One thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to God. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, if you look at me as just another part of your life, you don't understand power. We're talking about the creator of the world. He knit the heavens and he set the stars in the sky. The heavens are his tabernacle. The earth is his footstool. And to think that he's just this genie in our life, it's wrong. You're not thinking about it the right way. If a typhoon comes through Hiroshima, people are, you know, closing their windows, covering their cars. Why? Because that typhoon is not saying, hello, hi, I'm just the wind. Here's a little bit of water, here's a little bit of wind. Typhoon is saying, hello, woo. Things are going to change when I come through. If you don't know how to deal with that, you're in trouble. And God is saying, the power belongs to me. I'm coming through. I'm not just an addition to your life. If I'm not your life, my friend, I'm going to be your death. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. Not just power to kill, but you know what? Power to save. Because not only power belongs to God, but he says, not only does power belong to God, but unfailing love, chesed, mercies belong to God. Did you see that? Verse 12. God is the source of power. He has so much power, it belongs to him. Not only that, God is the source of love. And there is so much love in God, it belongs to God. You want love, you go to God. So I'm not here to just take over your life. I'm here to redeem your life. Hallelujah. Power belongs to God. Unfailing love belongs to God. And finally, it says, I reward everyone according to what they've done. Justice belongs to God. I'm just about ready to jump right now. Justice belongs to God. Let's go. That brings us all the way back to verse 1. In verse 1, my soul finds rest in God. Why was it restless in the first place? Verses 3 and 4. Because people have been whispering behind my back, trying to murder me and kill me. And I'm going through all of this, pouring out my heart to God, and I get to this last part, justice, justice. It's not me who's going to get them back. It's not me who's going to find revenge. Justice belongs to God. He rewards everyone according to what they've done. If they're going to get what they deserve, it's not by my power, because power doesn't belong to me. It's by God's power. I need to bring this to a close. What's your response to knowing that God has all the power? What's your response to knowing that God has all the love? What's your response to knowing that God is a God of justice and he's fair? What's the response? Verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. You see, Jesus, there was no one who trusted God better than Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He lived his life. He said, I and the Father are one. He said that there was, if there's anyone who found rest in God, it was Jesus. You know what Jesus did? All he was trying to do was trying to get away from people. He went up to a mountain to try and pray. The people came and followed him. He couldn't find any rest. And so he says, okay, I'm going to leave you people. Get on this boat and try to get away from you people so I can find some rest. He's so tired. He's sleeping on the boat. The boat's rocking up and down. There's a storm. He's still asleep. He's so tired. He gets to the other side of the lake. You know who's there? More people. He can't get, and he just wants rest because he knew the once he can get away from people and just be with his Father. So you know what the Bible says? It says, you know what he did? He just woke up earlier than everybody else. He got up when it was still dark, and he would just try to pray. And he would just try to be, because he just loved, he and the Father were one. And he just would go to the Father. And there came a point where it was coming close to the end. It was the night before he was going to be crucified. And he was in the garden, and he's with his Father. He's trying to find rest, and he couldn't rest. You know why? It was for us. We find rest because Jesus could not find his. Because Jesus gave up his rest so that we can rest in God. And it's him who ends up being our rest. And in 3 days after he was buried, the tomb, the stone to his tomb was rolled away. And now the tomb is empty. He has been resurrected. Meaning what? Meaning what? Meaning that our restlessness can finally stop. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You see, because he lives, all my efforts and all my wrestling, it can stop because finally I know that he doesn't rest. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 that continually he's praying for you and for me. Amen. He's praying for us. He's not resting. Therefore, pour out your hearts to him. Rest in him alone. There's so much that applies to Jesus here, but that's the most important thing. When he was on the cross, and they said, if you're the Son of God, then take yourself off of the cross. You know what he said? Nothing. Chinmoku. They spat on him. They provoked him. In 1 Peter, it says he didn't do anything. He was silent. And in chapter 53 of Isaiah, it says, like a lamb to the slaughter, he was silent. Like the sheep getting sheared of its wool, he didn't say a word. It was the victory of silence. Jeremiah, the prophet in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, it's good for a young man to sit in silence. Because in silence and in rest and in quiet trust in Jesus Christ, that's where our soul finds its victory. So my invitation is the same as it is every single time. Let's come. Let's pour out our hearts. Let's find Jesus at the cross. Let's find him who is restless so that we can find rest in him and find rest for our souls and victory. Victory. Shall we pray? As you sit with your eyes closed and your head bowed, pray. Verse 8, pour out your hearts to him. I don't know what the problem is, and I don't know what the restlessness comes from. He knows. He knows. Pour out your hearts before him. Are you being attacked? Are you in danger, not of your physical life, but of your sanity? Let him be your rock and your fortress, your refuge. Pour out your hearts to him. Are you unable to put down the arguments and the what ifs? Do like verse 5 says, find rest, my soul, in God alone. Are you wondering, is there any real power? Does God love me? Does he care? Is it fair? Go to verse 12. Understand that power belongs to God. Unfailing love belongs to God. Justice belongs to God. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, trust in him today. Trust in him alone. And find in his death your life. Find in his work your rest. Lord, we come to you. We pour out our hearts before you. Lord God, help us to find rest in you. Because in you, Lord God, hallelujah, is all the power, love, and glory. And Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, because we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly, even more than we can ask or imagine. We know that in you, God, is all the power, Lord God, that you offer it to us so that we can say, my rock, my redeemer, my refuge, my fortress. Oh, dear God, lift up the humble. Lay low the proud today, oh God. Lord, speak to us even though our ears may even be closed. Reveal to us, Lord God, your love, your will, and your power for our lives, Lord God. Oh God, for those of us who are fighting God, continually, Lord God, Lord, fight for us. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, help us to know the victory of silence, Lord God. And the victory in silence, Lord God. And we'll thank you, Lord. We thank you that you fight for us, that you pray for us, that you continually stand for us, oh God. We thank you. We lift up your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise you, oh God. Lord, we lift up these things to you in Jesus' name.